Everyone, and welcome to Techsplaining. This is episode 4, and we are going to be talking about build versus buy intranets today. And I'm Stephanie Donahue, and I'm here today with Rob Foster, Brett Lonsdale, and Mark Rackley. So, Mark, I think you are the one who brought up the topic of build versus buy in terms of intranets and SharePoint, whether you're on-prem or online. So wanted to hand things off to you and kind of give us a background on what we're going to talk about today.
Sure. So we've, as we go and speak to more and more customers and we go to more and more of these conferences, we see these vendors pop up with these intranet in-a-box solutions for SharePoint. And there are some pros and cons if you want to go that route. So I thought that this could just be a good idea for us to discuss. And when I say intranet in-a-box, what I'm talking about is that you go and you buy some pre-baked solution for SharePoint for things like your design, for page layouts, for web parts, for the way that looks, so that you don't have to build all of those pieces and parts yourselves, or even sometimes even have to build the pages yourself because everything has been predefined for you. So there's a lot of pros to this, and there's several cons to this as well. And there's a couple of types of internet in the box. There are those from the SharePoint world. I'm going to be speaking for a second. There's those SharePoint internet in the boxes where SharePoint is not your UI. SharePoint just holds your content. So maybe your UI is created with .NET or PHP or anything else, and the content is stored in SharePoint. The other type of intranet in a box is that you are still in SharePoint. It's just that intranet in a box solution will help you build and design your SharePoint pages, has some predefined fancier layouts, and then typically will have a lot of custom web parts for you to take advantage of that may not exist out of the box.
Mark, you sound like you're in a great mood today.
I just woke up 20 minutes ago. Do not get on my bad side.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting ready to argue with you. So I'm looking forward to this this discussion. I think it's interesting because we've all been down, I think, both roads, right? So the intranet in a box and then the custom solution. So I'm kind of curious to see what you guys have experienced on this, because I know I have a point of view. What are people doing out there?
So I'd like to speak to the mid-market, right? I know, Rob, you come from the enterprise side of the house. You have a lot of customers or a lot of end users, right? For us, I think one of the major factors is that we don't see it quite as much in the mid-market because our customers are smaller. There's a pretty big price tag behind having an intranet in a box, having everything already built out for you. And so we're seeing a little bit of it sneak in, definitely for the larger customers in the mid-market. But I think affordability is really a big factor here.
Now I'm confused because when we were talking about this topic discussion and we were thinking intranet in a box, I was thinking more of leveraging the platform as it is and kind of building your own thing. I mean, when we say intranet in a box, are we talking about what is the cost beyond Office 365 that we're seeing, other than, you know, just putting the pieces together, you know, spinning up a web page or a SharePoint site, dropping some web parts on and moving on from there? What is this cost you speak of?
So in a lot of these internet in a box solutions, I don't know of any actually that don't have this. There's ongoing licensing fees, and typically these licensing fees are priced per user.
But for
even after what?
For what? I mean, what are the licensing fees for beyond
to keep using the system, to keep having it supported, if to get the new features as they roll out? It's just like the licensing fees of Office 365. If you stop paying these licensing fees, your internet is dead. Whether that is that you lose branding and all of the custom web parts you used, or if you're on a hosted solution like Unily or something that they have everything in their own UI, you have no internet anymore. So that is one of the considerations.
Yeah, it's effectively the same as selling a third-party product, right? For SharePoint, as we were always have done. You know, you're licensing a solution that's built around SharePoint. And those vendors want to be paid for their solution. So either you're paying that on a sort of subscription basis, or I think some of them also have perpetual licenses as well. But with that, the same as a custom web part that you might go out and buy, you're paying for the support. You're paying for all the updates as they improve the product and so on over time.
Right. So this example would be like, hey, I've got this intranet and I'm heavily using the Lightning Conductor web part. Lightning Tools, Brett's company, would prefer that we keep paying them for that.
Correct.
Exactly. I mean, well, we have had to change our model to a certain extent since Office 365 has come out, because everything that we sold before was on a perpetual basis, and you would have the software assurance, sure, which was an annual fee, but now companies are paying monthly or they're paying annually for Office 365. They want to do the same thing for the add-ons as well to that platform, and I think the Intranet solutions are doing exactly the same thing. They've built a solution on that platform, and they get you to subscribe with a license.
I was going to say, how has this really impacted your business, right? Because that sounds like a pretty drastic change on your side of things.
For Lightning Tools, it has had quite a big impact. We're changing from perpetual to a subscription, certainly, because it's really difficult. We went back and forth so many times over the license cost. If we took a product as a perpetual license, then we used to base it on the fact that a company is typically going to have this product for 3 years. But in Office 365, it's going to go beyond that. Office 365, there isn't a new version coming out every 3 years or anything. A lot of organizations want to pay a subscription fee for that reason, so that they do keep it up to date on an ongoing basis. The issue it's had for us is that, if you base your pricing over sort of a 3 year period, but sell that annually, then year one, you're taking quite a big hit on your cash flow because you're only actually seeing a third of that value in year one. Although it will snowball, you're going to have a big impact at the start. But that's really the main thing that we've seen. Go ahead.
Nope. So kind of circling back to where we started here with cost, right, and intranet in a box specifically, I think you're touching on a lot of good points there with that. That's where you can have a big impact for someone who doesn't have the ability to build everything, right? You've got this great product sitting there that someone else is managing, someone else is updating, and you're just paying for them to do that. And I think where we're seeing kind of the gap here is that comes with a cost. You mentioned there's a big impact up front, and not everyone's willing to kind of take that impact, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think another issue kind of related is that a lot of companies that I see now that are adopting Office 365 and SharePoint Online, they don't have the same in-house skills that companies would have if they were using SharePoint on-premises. Now, you probably have a better feel for that than I do, but we've seen customers of ours buying our third-party products. And they really don't know how to use them, or they don't know how to use them in the right way. Whereas before, when customers were buying full trust solutions for their SharePoint on-premises environments, they would typically have SharePoint administrators and SharePoint developers that could help with the deployment, help with the customization, and get their users up to speed. But in Office 365, we're seeing companies that don't truly know what they're doing. They're getting SharePoint online and they're spinning up SharePoint team sites, and you know, they are getting in a bit of a tangle with it. And I think that that might be where the out-of-the-box intranets really suit those organizations, because they are getting something that has been built around, hopefully, you know, good practices and so on around SharePoint. It's catering for good user adoption. Yep. Basically filling in those gaps where perhaps you haven't got the skill set in-house to do it. And Rob, obviously you do have the skill set in your organization, but yeah, a lot of these smaller or medium-sized companies won't have.
Yeah. What gaps are there? Because there's got to be, I know Mark and Stephanie, you guys talk to a lot of folks, and Brett, I'm sure you talk to a lot of different customers. What gaps are you guys seeing that the platform doesn't do out of the box that they're having to supplement with these third-party products?
I would say one of the big ones, but it's also kind of a plus and a minus, is the branding, right? For those... This opens up a whole can of worms, though. So in classic SharePoint sites, they all look the same, plain, ugly, vanilla. All you get is themes. Well, if you go for an internet in a box solution that is hosted in SharePoint, they typically come with a lot of pre-built designs you can choose from that are much flashier. If you go with a solution that totally takes over your interface and you're no longer in SharePoint, then your design options become even more extreme. Branding is always a big consideration. I know people want to kind of lessen its impact, but it's always a big consideration. But this brings up the question. Fine. Go ahead. What?
No. No, I mean, I was just wondering, because we had a lot of discussions internally about the top bar, right, on top with the waffle, with the app launcher, the waffle menu, and then the whole, like, you know, this is SharePoint 365, Office, whatever it is. Do people, what are other folks' thoughts about that? I found that from our perspective, people either love it that it's there or they hate that it's there.
I've not really seen anybody complain or love it. It's just, it's there. That's how they use it.
Yeah, and we're the same way. I mean, it's there, and we typically tell clients that you don't mess with that. And this, we kind of take a pretty firm stance there.
But Mark, the one thing that you touched on with the whole branding and, you know, a SharePoint team site, yeah, I agree, it's not that exciting to look at anymore. In fact, we're dealing with a client right now where they're brand new to SharePoint, and they've got the communication sites and they've got the modern pages and so on, and they're actually looking at our products and saying your products look really old fashioned compared to the internet. It's like, oh yeah, oh, this is brand new, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of catching up to do building the client side web parts and so on around our products, so that we can replace the SharePoint add-ins and what have you that do look old. But
right.
So the whole branding thing, you've got the themes and what have you, but yeah, Microsoft are doing a lot about that right now. So I'm sorry if I've stolen your thunder, but
I want to kind of go on that. Another piece of those internet in the boxes is the fact that they do have these communication sites coming out, and these communication sites have very limited branding options. And on top of that, they have a different user interface. So it's much easier for people to use communication sites and design those pages because of the improved layout. So the new communication sites, if you like the way those look and feel, almost takes out a reason why you should do or look at an internet in a box solution, because it's getting closer to what those other internet in a box solutions are doing, which is giving an improved interface, more easier to use.
But do you think it's more than just the interface? Because I see a lot of organizations, they're wasting a lot of time building out a solution that nobody uses, because maybe they get the training wrong, or they get they don't get people excited about using the product, or they've designed it incorrectly so that it's not following the business process, whatever. There's reasons why they don't get the user adoption, and that's one of the things that I see that these intranet solutions do very well. They have things that people do like and do want to use already pre-built.
No, I think user adoption is core to this, right? It is one of the major considerations because, you know, you're talking about how easy the communication sites are to put together and to build, and they look really nice. But for those organizations still really focused on having a strong brand, I think the communication sites are still lacking there a little bit. So kind of looking at it from the fact that it's the perfect merger of being able to have a stronger brand or a more attractive interface, plus the ease of use for the end user, maybe not from the admin supportability side if you're putting your own solution together, but certainly the end user is, or the power user is the focus here, and getting them something that they can manipulate. Because as you know, over time, SharePoint's always been that application, that platform that's been difficult for the power user to understand and to pick up and to kind of manage on their own.
Do you think the lack of branding, do you guys think the lack of branding or brandability in the new communication sites is going to be a showstopper for a lot of folks?
I honestly don't. I think that they're going to complain about it. I think that, you know, there's some very, very minor branding you can do with headers and footers. I think that the functionality of it will make up for it. And in the long run, I think it won't be a showstopper. The people are going to grumble about it and fight about it for a long time, and maybe they'll help us with it, but I don't see it being a showstopper. Just open up a communication site in the SharePoint app, and a lot of those arguments are going to kind of go, okay.
Well, what about the need for high resolution images, though? I think that's another key factor here. They look really nice. But as we saw on the, I think it was the virtual summit, right? They showed us food. It was a recipe site or something like that. They showed us a travel site. Both of those have really nice images that kind of go along with it. But you think about, you know, what are we using the communication sites for within an organization? And it's definitely more of a publishing site thing. In a lot of organizations, especially the smaller they are, they may struggle a little bit to find those high resolution images. I think Susan Hanley is a really great article on communication sites. And she even mentions, you know, going out and kind of keeping a collection of high resolution images for those sites for that reason. And so that's something that I think you definitely need to have handy for those versus maybe an intranet in a box, which might give you more attractive web parts and things that don't require those images.
Yeah. And that's a great point. So I think when we circle back to those, to the internet in the box discussion, we've talked about a couple of things. We've talked about the cost being the cost issues with the internet in the box, not issues, opportunities, where you have the ongoing licensing costs. And we've also talked about the breadth of features, the extra web parts you get, the more design styles you get. So with internet in the box, you do get more features for little effort as well. Another advantage of using an internet in a box is the actual speed to implementation. So instead of taking months and months and months to roll out your intranet because you have to build everything, you could take one of these internet in a box solutions and you could be deployed in a matter of weeks instead of months because you're using a lot of pre-built functionality.
So Rob, you did the build side of things with the intranet in a box. How long did it take you guys to build yours out and to get it ready for production?
Well, I guess once we started building, it took about a year. It was about on my side. So myself and a couple other, the architects kind of, we dreamed this whole thing up and, you know, of course you've got to sell it to the business and get everybody's input and get funding for it. So it was all in, it was probably about a 2.5 year effort, to get it actually, baked from an idea that a couple of us were just sitting in a bar in New York City and we wrote it down on a napkin all the way through to delivery, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, so it did take a long time, but and a significant amount of development effort and hours and blood, sweat, and tears and all of that. But we ended up with something that's very rich. It's very it does exactly what we wanted it to do. It's a very compelling experience for our people.
Are you glad you did it?
You know what? I am. I think it was the right decision for us. Mostly because we've got a lot of what we did, and just to kind of tell the story of what happened really was we didn't want to modify SharePoint beyond what we really wanted to. We wanted to take advantage of the a lot of the cloud services, so be able to pull in queries from the Office Graph or do searches and configure hybrid search so that we could run queries on our and searches on our intranet content and really provide some more of an intelligent delivery of services to our people. And one of the problems that we had going into this was the way it's currently built or was currently built was whether you were in New York or Los Angeles or, you know, wherever, the news delivery that we wanted to deliver as part of the kind of the very first experience was the same for everybody. It was hard to really target to say, hey, you are this type of employee in this location, so you get to see these types of news articles versus, you know, if you're in another location, maybe you see something different that's targeted at you. So by going the custom route, we were able to build a pretty rich content targeting engine with Azure based on who a person was in the organization and all of that. So beyond just targeting content at people and giving them links to their apps, we provided that personalization that was beyond what SharePoint out of the box and intranet in a box could really offer us. And we also wanted to target content at people, and maybe the content could live at Gartner, right? It doesn't live inside of SharePoint. It lives somewhere else. We wanted to provide that opportunity as well to be able to feature content that may or may not live on our intranet site.
I think that's a really great story, Rob, and it actually brings us into one of the next things to consider if you're looking at internet in a box, and that is that customizability factor, right? So for your personalized solution that you implemented, if you went with internet in a box and they don't offer anything like that, depending on the solution, you may not even have the option to create something like that. So if customizing and creating custom applications and web parts are very important to you, then that should be a consideration when you're looking at those internet in a box solutions.
Well, and we previously did it like say news, like we delivered news. The news would live inside of SharePoint or wherever, right? And we actually drove what the users saw on their screen out of a list. So we would configure a list to say, okay, show this news article from this date to this date in this section of the homepage, and you know it would just configure. So when the homepage loaded, it would just go query that list. It would get all of that information and just display it on the page. So it was in a way a custom thing, but it was done with SharePoint out of the box features, right? So it wasn't anything complex that you couldn't do. We wanted to go beyond that to provide that personalization engine, which you really can't do without a lot of custom code.
Yeah, and we're seeing that becoming more and more important to clients is to give people that personalized experience because they don't want everybody going to the homepage and seeing the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But surely the internet in a box is depending on which product you use, that they are customizable, right? I mean, at the end of the day, they're on SharePoint.
It depends. Some of them are customizable. I know like PAL 365 is when we've run into that you can create your own client web parts in the SharePoint framework and they'll work fine. And you can do that. But the thing is now you're doing a build and buy, right? So if you're going to be putting a lot of development effort in there, do you still want to do the internet in a box if you're already going to do a lot of build? And there's other solutions.
Just to answer that point, sorry, the speed to implementation is a factor there and the cost. So, you know, you're getting a huge leg up, if you like, to get the product deployed and out to your users. And that could effectively be phase one of your intranet. But then you're going to, over time, build in more features as your business requires them. So I think, obviously, yeah, it's important to make sure that whichever option you choose, you can customize it going forwards. But I mean, are there any penalties for making customizations? I mean, do they stop supporting you or anything like that, or is it a case of you just can't?
Well, for the case of PAL 365, if you're using their features, their web parts, and you create your own web parts, that's all fine. That's great. And you can do that all day long with no additional penalties or costs. And if you stop paying for the PAL licensing, you lose all of the PAL web parts on your page, sure. But anything you custom wrote, it will still be there and still be working on the page. So yeah, there's by all means customize away for that solution. But then again, there are those other solutions that aren't even using SharePoint as their display engine. And you may not have any customization options with those solutions because it's not SharePoint showing you the content. It's SharePoint is effectively just your content holder at that point.
Now, Brett, you mentioned something before we started the podcast today that I thought was really interesting. You mentioned kind of packaging things. So something like Lightning Tools could be packaged with an intranet in a box solution. And then you're kind of buying two different tools, but they're, again, speed to implementation really fast. If that intranet in a box doesn't support something that maybe another third party tool does.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we've had a number of these companies come to us, and they want to build our products as part of the solution, and almost that they're optional line items. You know, you're going to get the intranet in the box, and if you want content roll up, or you want a discussion forum, or you want permissions management, these are extra things that you can purchase in different packages, which sounds wonderful to me. And you know, I didn't know whether you guys had actually experienced that in the vendors that you'd seen, whether they include things like Nintex workflow or anything, because then you're going to one organization and for one fee, you know, you're getting a solution that comes with support and everything you need that way. No comment.
Don't everybody speak.
I guess that's a no. I can't say that we've come across that yet, but I think it's a really intriguing solution because, you know, a lot of times you look at it and you're like, oh, it's 80% of what we need. And we've got this other 20% we've got to fill. And if you can, again, build and package it together and, you know, buy both of those, package it together instead of having to build, it seems like a really great solution to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it also comes with some potential downsides, and I think this is something that organizations need to be careful of about who which vendors they select, because there are some vendors that have been around offering SharePoint consultancy for a large number of years. You know, people like IDLive with they have a tool called Mercury. We've got Mark Stokes over here in the UK who's a SharePoint MVP. He's got a product called Atollo, and these are, you know, fantastic tools. They're well written, they're well designed, but there's some out there where we've tried to provide one of our solutions, one of our products to one of these intranets in a box, and we've found that actually they've implemented something really badly in the template, you know, where they've maybe used custom lists without any. Without any content types or site columns. And there's, you know, 50 of these throughout the solution that are all doing the same thing. Maybe it's, you know, some form of task list or whatever. And you can't do things like aggregate the content because they're all different. They've all got different underlying column names and so on. So I think it's important to make sure that when you go to select an intranet in the box, that you also consider who wrote it, what's the experience behind that company. Because right from the outset, Mark, you mentioned going to a SharePoint conference and seeing all these intranet in the box vendors, and yeah, they're popping up all the time, and the names that I don't recognize and so on. I don't know if you experience the same thing, but
yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of companies who are like, hey, we built this intranet for our company and they like it. Let's start selling it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So
I guess we could maybe list some of our favorites in the show notes afterwards as well, just to give everyone a chance to go review maybe some of the ones that we've seen in action and some that we know and trust. And that's not to say that anybody else doesn't have a good solution, but definitely it helps to start with looking at folks that really have a good track record. They have a good support record and kind of start there just as a baseline to start comparing what others offer, and it'll, you know, maybe give everyone a chance to ask the right questions when you're reviewing some of the intranet in a box solutions that are out there.
Yeah, y'all are scaring me to death, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, well, one of the things that that I think you need to be cautious about is that there, and Brett or somebody said, there's a lot of companies spinning up to do this, right? And there's a lot of people that are, you know, companies that are saying, okay, I'm going to take these four fenders and put them together as and package them as one solution. I think there's a lot of risk in that, right? To where, because there is so much flux in this space right now, right? There's vendors that are popping up and there are also vendors that are going away, right? That are either merging or maybe they can't sell anything. So they're going out of business. So, I would err to the side of caution on that because, it does introduce a lot of risk to where you've got this intranet in a box and you've got this one vendor being the broker for multiple companies. You know, I think that's something you need to really be cautious about.
I agree 100%.
Right.
I mean, if you go with this internet in a box solution and you're paying perpetual licensing fees and that customer goes under, you lose your intranet. It's gone. And now you've got to either find a new solution or you've got to go the build route at that point. So it's absolutely a risk there. Well, and the other risk is that internet in a box solution going to support features as they're rolled out by SharePoint or by Microsoft? You're going to have to rely on these guys that, well, when the communication sites are fully baked, is this solution going to support that? Or is it communication sites even an offer with this internet in a box solution?
So again, I think that's one of the things. Yeah, if you choose the right company, I think that's part of what you're paying for, right? Because a lot of these the smaller organizations, they haven't got time to keep up with the changes that Microsoft are making. They're trying to run a business, doing other things. But yeah, if you're paying a company for a solution, then you would expect them to keep it up to date. Absolutely right.
Well, and can you, and I don't know if anybody's ever asked you guys for this, Brett, but I mean, obviously it's hard to determine a roadmap, right? So you can't, it's hard to go to a company and say, hey, can you show me your roadmap for the next 18 months of whatever? But I think it would be a fair ask to go and say, show me your roadmap from the last 18 months, like previously 18 months prior to now, what features have you released? And I think you need to map that to, okay, how well has this company kept up with the Microsoft evolution of the platform, right? Because I think that's super critical. If you see a company that has been doing it, I would say that's a safe bet. If you see one that's been kind of slow or hasn't offered the features until many months later, then that's probably a flag that you need to raise as a risk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Agreed.
Another good thing to do would be to ask them, you know, what are they doing to stay on top of the technology and with what's coming? I know I was at the SharePoint Dev Kitchen back in January, I think, of this year, and there were a couple of internet in a box solution companies there at that Dev Kitchen. And so they were there learning about what's coming next with SharePoint so that they could stay on top of that development path. So that's a good sign for those companies.
Well, what about... If you bring a bunch of different vendors into your solution, it seems like administration would be kind of a big deal, right? Because you've got different solutions, you've got different ways to manage these solutions or these products. How do you manage all that stuff? How do you tie it all together?
Yeah, that's a great point. And again, this is going to go back to picking a vendor who is following best practices and doing what they should do, right? So that if you do work with multiple companies for your internet, they're not stepping on top of each other. Things aren't breaking like Brett was just talking about. And then there's the overall administration of how you use these tools. And a lot of tools will have their own admin panels that you can go into to design your pages, template your pages, and create your sites that are more user-friendly than out-of-the-box SharePoint. So one of the benefits of going internet in a box is that you may have this much better, more improved administrative interface. But as far as working with other tools, right, you've got to have a mix of tools from vendors that know what they're doing. I think that's really key. And you're going to find out quickly if a vendor doesn't know what they're doing in this scenario.
Mark, didn't you mention too that some of those administration tools can be used even outside of the internet in a box solution itself? I think you mentioned one that it will deploy the templates for their products, but also if you build your own, it will also deploy those too. So I think that can also come into play with how flexible you need your site to be.
Yeah, there's one tool. I'm not going to do too much name dropping in the actual podcast, but I know of one internet in a box tool where some clients have actually done nothing but buy their admin tool licensing. They don't use any of the custom web parts or features. They just use the admin tool because it makes it so much easier to template and spin up their sites.
So one of the things that if you go down the customization route, that you don't think of is you also have to write your own admin tools for this stuff. And that was one thing that took me by surprise, and it really hit me like a ton of bricks, because our admin tools are far more complex than the actual end user, you know, pages that our people see. And the admins, there's only a couple hundred of those, as to say, you know, a couple hundred thousand people that are actually seeing the pages that are a direct reflection of these admin tools. And we spent a lot more time building the admin tools than we did building the actual interface. And I think that was a surprise to me. It shouldn't have been, I guess, looking back, but it was a significant effort to build these admin tools in.
Interesting. That's a really good point. And something that people have to take into account.
Yeah, because I mean, you get into it and it's like, oh, we'll just push this admin stuff like we did. We'll just push it out to later in the project when, you know, we really should have started the admin tools way before we started the user interface, because it was a mess. I mean, it wasn't a mess. It was just a lot of work, and we had to essentially kind of restaff up the admin side of the project to where we had to add a lot more people to actually deliver that. And the number of people that ended up consuming this was a fraction. I mean, not even 1% of our overall population of the internet, right? So if you look at how much we spent to build the admin tools versus who was using it, it was a lot. You know, so that's something that that you need to consider is going down the custom route, is that those admin tools, they're going to be complex because you've got to manage the stuff. It's not just pushing it to a list or to a database or something like that. You've got to build all of the CRUD processes and then workflows, and then all of the, you know, you could have an approval workflow or whatever to publish content out there, and that stuff just, I mean, it just takes time and effort to build.
Well, and you have to make it idiot proof, right? And that you can get, you know, 90% of the functionality in 10% of the time, because you've got to make everything polished, idiot proof, and do everything. It's a pain.
Well, you've got to have requirements for all that stuff, right? What can a person enter into this field? Can they upload a photo? Can they enter in only numbers? And then, okay, beyond that, can they do this from their phone? Right. So can you be at like an event and publish a piece of content out there to where you take a picture on your phone, you upload it to your little admin tool, and it gets published out. So beyond that, I mean, there's so many other things that you have to take into account of how people are going to be using this tool. And then depending on how they're going to be using it, you have to build it that way, because it's all custom, right?
Well, now you're scaring me.
Well, I mean, it was that's some of the things we had to be, you know, to take into account, because I never thought that somebody would want to publish news from their phone. But then I was like, okay, well, we do a lot of these public charity events, or maybe it's a company meeting or something, to where you've got people there and they're taking pictures with their phone. Hey, let's go ahead and maybe publish a live stream of these pictures out on the internet, and it was like, wow, okay, that does make sense. So let's build that. Oh, wow, that's a lot of work to build that.
Well, and that brings up another good point, especially in the SharePoint world, is the breadth of applications that are being developed and released out there for us. So what you were saying with taking pictures and posting the pictures and stuff, you know, depending on, I know this wouldn't be an option for you guys, but for some companies now, they could use Teams for that and use the Teams client on their phone for that and take pictures on their phone, and it goes straight into Teams. And so that means it's actually getting stored in SharePoint. And I think that for those clients who want that functionality and are afraid to build it, they can look at the breadth of applications and options out there in Office 365 and say, you know, is that going to be good enough for our needs, or do we need to go through this process of building these really incredibly difficult and fancy components for our solution?
Yeah. I mean, could you use the OneDrive app or the Teams app to actually store the pictures and then later come back in and say, let's upload this, you know, as a stream or as a collection of articles or whatever. Absolutely. Yeah.
So knowing what you know now with where they're going with Office 365, do you think that it would change the way you did your build?
Not at all. Not at all. Because having some access both through being an MVP as well as through just my company, we've really tried to build in the direction of the platform based on where Microsoft's going with Office 365. So taking advantage of things like the Office Graph and a lot of the web services that are offered behind the scenes and bringing in the mobile experience, right? To highlight them as something you can use to get to content has been a great thing. Now, does it make sense? My dad has a small company, right? And he uses Office 365 to kind of manage his company. Now, it doesn't make sense for him to do that with 50 employees or whatever he has to go down the custom route. I mean, he just wants to upload documents and manage those and publish news and policies and things like that. Internet in a box totally makes sense for him. And he's probably on the very much smaller end of the mid-market that you guys deal with, but it doesn't make sense for him to hire a developer and have a whole team of people that are just writing code for him. And I think that's where the magic is, right? I think because the platform is so flexible, no matter where, and I can't imagine what kind of thought and strategic direction it took to think about this is that it can support both scenarios very well, right? And the platform can support people like my dad that has a small business, and it can support people like me that works in a very large enterprise. And I think that's so rare, right? To be able to have a platform that can go that far into the spectrum to support both, both business models or any business model.
That's good feedback.
Drink.
I think it sounds scary, kind of when you go through it this way with the cost and the customizability and administration and all of the risk. But at the end of the day, I think really what it comes down to is the user adoption is really awesome. I think when you can customize the site a little bit, make it easier to use, to understand, and to administer, I think all of those things are a win. So it's something that if you can make the investment to look at a product like this, either to build or to buy it, the end users and your power users are really the ones who win here, because it is an opportunity to kind of level up the SharePoint platform and make it really cool, make it look attractive, make it easy to use. So, you know, I think while there's a lot of pieces and parts to consider, long term, you really may see that big jump in user adoption. And that's really, I think, what a lot of folks want to see, executives and all of that. They want to know that their investment has been, well spent with those end users.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, too, is the it's really all about increasing efficiency, right, of making your people more efficient at what they do. And to when you start down this path of internet in a box or, you know, building your intranet or whatever it is you're building, have a clear definition of what you want to build. Understand the gaps for what isn't covered in the platform out of the box, and then find a vendor or two or five or whatever it takes to fill those gaps. And then, you know, it really becomes more of depending on your size, it becomes less of a build versus buy scenario over a, hey, let's just kind of package these together and then bring this all in as one solution. So, you know, having a clear definition of what you want to do is definitely key to making being successful in that.
So why don't we go through a quick poll of all of us then and each say which we prefer, build versus buy. That might be a good way to wrap things up. I'll start since it's my idea. You stole my answer. No, I do think on your priorities. If cost is a huge factor for you, then those ongoing licensing costs may deter you from doing internet in a box. But if you're looking for speed implementation, breadth of feature support, and something you can roll out quickly, and those costs don't matter to you, I think it's you should definitely look at an internet in a box as a solution. What about you, Rob?
I don't disagree. But it does depend. I mean, it really does depend. And the majority of times, getting a solution to your people is far more important than, I guess speed of implementation becomes far more important to you than getting a very customized solution that does exactly what you want that you spend millions of dollars on. We do this a lot with the SharePoint stuff of, in being applications or something that our people want to do. Will it get them 80% there for what they're looking for is kind of a common question that we ask. And can we do that? Can we do it 80% out of the box or with very little customizations really quick? And will that work for now and then kind of, either develop the last 20% or look at other vendors to bring in to do that. And I think that's one thing that we do there, for general SharePoint solutions. Some cases people want to do something with SharePoint. And I think that's key. So I guess it does depend. Like I said before, I think if we had it to do over again with my company, we would still go down the build path just because of the customization and the personalization that we wanted to do around that. Conversely, on my dad's side, it wouldn't make sense for him to do that at all.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement here. It's it really is going to depend on each organization. I think budgets come into effect. Your requirements for how soon do you need to have this implemented and what skills you have in house. I think all of that is going to allow you to make a decision either for building it all out yourself in SharePoint, take into account the amount of time that's going to take. And Rob, yeah, that's a fantastic example that you had in your organization, versus, we don't really have the skills. Let's go ahead and get something and begin to use it.
So I guess my final thoughts, I always kind of harp on considering both the technology and the business. And I think we have a tendency to choose the technology first when maybe we need to go talk to the business first and we need to figure out what their needs are, what the culture is and make sure we understand what's needed before we choose the technology. And so maybe looking at it from a slightly different way and gathering some requirements and talking to the business first can be really helpful in determining a direction as well.
Yeah, I think that's a key point. Absolutely.
Yeah, talking to the business. Absolutely. That's talk to the business. It's the majority of people listening here to this podcast are very much technology people, no doubt. But talk to your people. Talk to the leadership. Figure out what it is. Yes, it's cool with the technology, but if it doesn't do what your people need, you've already failed.
No, just go write code. Just write something and see what happens.
Lots and lots of JavaScript, right, Mark?
All right. Well, I think we're wrapping up the conversation here. This has been Techsplaining. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation on Intranet in a Box, Build versus Buy, and we'll catch you guys next time.